Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Yesterday was an historic day for Australia. The postal survey vote for marriage equality returned an overwhelming yes vote, 61%. So now a bill can make its way through the Senate and Australia can experience marriage reform hopefully by Christmas. So this is something New Zealand achieved 4 years ago. I spoke earlier with Labor MP Louisa Wall, who wrote the New Zealand bill on marriage equality, and the road thus far. We talked a little bit about the road thus far in both New Zealand and Australia for marriage equality.
And now the official results of the Australian Marriage Law Postal Survey. For the national result, yes responses, 7,817,247, representing 61.6%.
Australian people have spoken, and they have voted overwhelmingly yes. They voted yes for fairness. They voted yes for commitment. They voted yes for love. And now it is up to us, here in the Parliament of Australia, to get on with it, to get on with the job the Australian people have tasked us to do and get this done this year before Christmas.
New Zealand became the 13th country to legalise same-sex marriage when your bill passed its third reading in Parliament back in 2013. At the time, it was a milestone. It was quite incredible. I mean, tell me a little bit about that bill and how it came to be. I mean, was that quite a long time coming? It was a bit. I mean, 13th is a bit overdue. New Zealand like to think of themselves as you know, leaders in those sorts of issues.
It was a long time coming, actually, because what happened in New Zealand after homosexual law reform in 1986 was 10 years later in 1996, three lesbian couples actually attempted to marry by completing the requisite forms and applying to the state for a licence. And in fact, two of the couples got licences, but upon realising that they were two women, the state then said, sorry, you're not eligible to get married, which really did start for us the process towards marriage equality. Our response in 2004 was to create civil union. I think what we'd looked at was the Netherlands pathway towards marriage equality, and I think in retrospect now it was seen as a stepping stone towards full equality. But essentially what has happened in New Zealand, which is exactly what happened in Australia, was really the activism of our LGBT communities, our leaders who just kept pushing and pushing and saying we want access to what is a civil institution, a state-mediated institution, and fundamentally the role of the state in marriage and across the world globally actually is in the issuing of licences and making sure that the people who are going to marry one another you know, aren't related to each other and don't have affinity relationships, they call it. So, yeah, I mean, really what's happened in Australia is on the back of years and years, over 20 years of activism. So I really pay tribute to our LGBT leaders who really, you know, set the pathway to full equality before the law for our community.
Yeah, I mean, what were the biggest boundaries that you faced in New Zealand?
Oh, I think the biggest boundaries initially was, you know, when the proposition about same-sex couples being able to marry were first mooted, obviously we had to contend with the historical definitions of marriage, and I guess in the 50s and in the 60s there was never contemplated that anyone other than a man and a woman could marry. So it was really all the historical definitions of marriage, and then the churches trying to claim that marriage was their institution when in fact it's always been a state-mediated institution.
Right.
And it was those types of traditional conservative views that we had to battle, and that's exactly what's happened in Australia.
Yeah, do you think it's harder there? I mean, it's been 4 years since we passed same-sex marriage, and I mean, Australia still don't have it. I mean, they're a step closer after yesterday. But why are their boundaries so much? Why is it being so much more of a challenge there? Do you think?
Oh, I think it was a challenge there because in 2004 we instituted civil unions, but the response in Australia, and remember, they've got states, and then they have official parliament, so it is a lot more complicated anyway. But John Howard was the Prime Minister, and rather than start a conversation and be directed by the courts, he kind of preempted all that debate and discussion and just changed the Marriage Act and said, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman entered into freely for life. And so he really closed off all discussion or ability. And then unfortunately, at that time, the Labor Party, under Julia Gillard's leadership, actually voted for that legislation. And I know within the Labor Party itself, they've been and have had, you know, quite intense discussion about what their position on marriage equality is. And so there was a bit of a political stalemate. And obviously within the Liberal Party itself, it became a bit of a defining issue between Turnbull and Abbott. And so the politics over there are very different. And also the level of investment, I guess, in the No campaign by churches, and not just the Catholic Church, but the Anglican Church and others, has been massive, like millions and millions of dollars invested, and particularly in New South Wales. And actually, the vote there reflects that investment. It was
absolutely, They were the highest. They were the lowest. Yes.
Lowest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Just under 58%. So, yeah, a lot more complicated. But I have to say, I'm incredibly proud of Australia. I mean, I think like us, we do fundamentally believe in equality and human rights and, you know, for women, for our Indigenous communities, and actually for LGBT. And our argument was simply that the state shouldn't discriminate against any citizen, that we're all equal, and the state has a responsibility to make sure, firstly, that they comply with human rights ideals, which is about treating us all the same. And that's all we've ever wanted, was to be treated equally before the law.
Yeah, yesterday would have been a very special moment to be in Australia. So, I mean, now looking forward to what's next for that, for the bills. I mean, there's a couple of bills that are potentially going to be going through the Senate. There was one which Conservative lawmakers are looking to release, which will, people are saying, is going to wind back anti-discrimination laws and protect individuals who want to boycott gay weddings and allow registrars to deny giving marriage licences. I mean, what do you think of these bills? Do you think that there's space there for a bill more similar to your own to go through the Senate there?
Oh, I think that a bill similar to ours is going to go through. The Paterson bill, I think, which is the 11th-hour Conservative bill, saying essentially that, yeah, you can discriminate. Doesn't matter if you're a religious leader or empowered by your church. Anyone can discriminate and say, I don't want to, you know, be part of your wedding because it doesn't fit my beliefs and values. That's not, from what I've seen, going to be supported anywhere, not by the Liberal Party itself, even though one of its members is promoting it. So I actually think the Australians have evolved a bit further than we have, to be honest, because my bill defined marriages between two people regardless of their sex, sexual orientation or gender identity, whereas I think their bill is just going to be between two people. So there isn't any distinction. I do think that's a move toward very, you know, simple and principled approach to the whole process. And then like us, our celebrants were always authorised but not obliged. It was always about the right fit. I think that is really important, actually. What we don't want to see is celebrants forced to marry a couple that they don't want to for whatever reason. Because that brings unhappiness to a really, really...
to a moment that should not be about unhappiness.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a celebration. And actually, who you get to preside over that solemnisation and that connection and formal connection between two families is really, really important. I think what we've seen in New Zealand, though, post marriage equality legislation, was a more, focused... determination by our Registrar General about who is fit for purpose to conduct marriages outside of religious marriage. And so they now explicitly ask people whether or not they're prepared to perform what is a public function. And so I know that people have had issues wanting to become celebrants if they're not prepared to perform same-sex marriages. But actually that's a different part of the process in determining from a state's perspective, who is the right person to be empowered to actually solemnise marriages. So there have been issues with that regard post, but not by anyone other than those who are wanting to, as you've said, discriminate in the provision of that public service or in the provision of goods and services related to marriages that they don't believe in.
So Turnbull is hoping the bill will be passed by Christmas. Do you think that's likely?
I do, actually, because what I'm hoping is that the Labor Party in Australia, for example, because it is part of their policy, I know that they'd made a commitment in the first 100 days of them becoming a government to pass their marriage equality as a government bill. So what I'm hoping is that all of the Labor Party MPs will vote for this bill, that it won't be a conscience vote as such, because essentially what they're doing is fulfilling the wishes of the Australian people.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, you know, it's from my perspective, $122 million investment in democracy. I mean, they've had such a massive turnout, nearly 80% of eligible voters. And the most interesting group for me were the 18 and 19-year-olds. They had 80% turnout from young people who a lot of us are worried about because, you know, they're disengaged, they're not interested in politics. And I think that that sign is really, really important. And what it speaks to is that this bill is about the future. It is about the next generation. And it is time that Australia just moved and advanced this as quickly as possible.
It's very, very special. It's very exciting to see.
Absolutely. Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
Do want to acknowledge the leadership of Malcolm Turnbull. It's been really difficult for him. I know that when he wasn't the leader of the Liberal Party or the Prime Minister, he was really, really supportive. And then obviously he got caught in a situation where it was quite a divisive issue within his caucus. But they did find a way forward. And like I take heart from people like Peter Dutton, who don't support marriage equality. Said quite explicitly he'd vote no, but just before, about a month before the results came out, he was really clear that he would fulfil the wishes of the Australian people. So he would vote based on what the people said. And I actually think the pathway that has been created now makes it easy for a whole lot of people within that caucus, including the Prime Minister, to lead on this with Bill Shorten. I don't want to underestimate the Labor Party's position on marriage equality, but you know, it's good to see a result, and it's good to see the post result reaction from those political leaders who obviously are incredibly committed now
to
making law a reality.
Can anyone explain why the modern day Wales are so big?
The Wire.